If anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have been passed away, and all things have become new. So says 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He was one of the greatest theologians of the second century. His name was Augustine. To this very day, Augustine's writings are classics. And even today, in the 21st century, he is often quoted among scholars of the scripture. But Augustine was a man who was not baptized until the age of 32. And before his conversion to Christ, Augustine engaged in what we will simply call an unholy lifestyle. The story is told the day after Augustine's conversion that there was a friend who approached him from behind, calling his name. Augustine! Augustine! But he didn't reply. So the friend kept moving toward him and calling him out. Augustine! Augustine! But he never replied. Finally, his friend came up to him and he turned him around and he says, Augustine, it's me. And Augustine replied, yes, I know it's you, but it's no longer me. If anyone is a Christian, they are brand new. Everything in their past is forgotten. And all of it is about to be made new from that point forward. But the question I'm asking this morning is, what is the process that makes us new? What is it that we need to understand? What is it that we need to do? What is the process so that it's no longer me? Let me ask you this morning to turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to begin by reading the first 9 verses. And then throughout this lesson, we're going to refer back to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, beginning with the first word in the first verse. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then Saul fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Verse 6. So Saul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with Saul stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 9. And Saul was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Saul goes to the high priest in the city of Jerusalem. He asks of him letters of authority that he may travel as far as the city of Damascus. The city of Damascus was 150 miles north of the city of Jerusalem. And in that 150 mile stretch on horseback, Saul said, "If I find any who are members of the church, any who belong to this Jesus," he says, "I'm going to bind them and I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem where they can be persecuted and where they can be killed." So Saul and his companions head toward Damascus. As Saul recounts this story in Acts 22, Saul said it was about noon, and they had come almost into the city of Damascus, and there was a great light that blasted down from the heavens. When God turns the lights on, business is about to pick up. Saul is thrown to the ground, and in the brilliance of the light, Saul is now blind. And Saul cries out, "Blind, who are you?" The voice says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." So here is Saul in a personal conversation with the risen Lord. Saul then recognizes who this is, and Saul says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Jesus tells him, "You get up off the street there, go into the city of Damascus, and there you'll receive instructions on what to do." And the Bible says that Saul's companion picked him up and led him by the hand into the city because Saul was now blind. Follow me. Here is a man who is about to be made new. What was the process that Saul had to get through to become new? Again, I'm asking, what did he have to understand? What did he have to know in his mind, and what did he have to physically do in order to become brand new in Christ? A careful examination from this passage shows that there were four things that were involved in the process of making Saul brand new. Four things. Number one, the passage tells us that in the process of being made new, Saul recognized Jesus as Lord. He recognized Jesus as Lord. Now I want you to look carefully at verse 6. So Saul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord." Saul understands. Saul recognizes now who he is in conversation with. Lord. Now follow me here for like 10 seconds and I'll explain why I'm doing this. The word Lord here is the word Kyrios. It's K-U-R-I-O-S. The word Lord, the word Kyrios, means owner. We still use it today. We will say that he is or she is the landlord. What does that mean? That means they are the owner of the home and the land the home sits on that I live in. They are the landlord. They're the owner. The word Kyrios means the one with the authority. Now hold on to this. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 33, the word Kyrios, Lord, is used to describe the ruler of the universe. Saul recognizes now that Jesus is owner. He recognizes that Jesus is Lord. Now, what did that mean to Saul? What that meant is that Saul's life was now under new management. He who had been an antagonizer of Christ is now going to be a defender of Christ. He who had been a blasphemer of Christ is now going to be a worshiper of Christ. But here is the application to you and I. Brethren, Jesus is still Kyrios. Jesus is still Lord. On the day of Pentecost, the very birth of the Church of Christ, the Apostle Peter announced to the world for all time in verse number 36 that God has taken this Jesus that you crucified and has made him both Kyrios, Lord, and Christ. Now, from a practical point of view, in your life and in mine, what does it mean for you and I to recognize that Jesus is the Lord of our lives? What does that mean? Now follow me. Follow me. Are you listening? Look up at me. Don't worry about that. Follow me. There is a process to being made new. That process involves recognizing that Jesus is Lord. But when you and I, as God's people, when we recognize that Jesus is Lord, what does that mean on a daily basis? The first thing it means is that Jesus is now the focal point of our lives. Now hear the verse carefully, but understand it. In Galatians 2 and in verse 20, the same Saul, now the Apostle Paul, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, but I'm alive. Are you listening? Look, I have been crucified. I, Dave Fox, I have been nailed to the cross, but I'm still here. No, because it's no longer me. He says it's Christ who now lives in me. Listen. It's no longer my will. It's no longer my desire. It's no longer my life. Now it's his life. Now it's his desire. Now it's about him. He is Kyrios. He is the owner. What does it mean to recognize Jesus as Lord? It means he is the focal point of my life. The second thing it means is that I give him my very best. The best of my time. The best of my resources. The best of my energy. Lord have mercy on all of us if we think that pocket change and spare time is going to get this. He is Kyrios. He is the ruler of the universe. God has made him such over me and over you if you're a Christian. But what does that mean? To recognize Jesus as Lord. It means he's the focal point of my life. It's not me. It's him. It means that I give him my best. And the third thing it means is that he is first. He's first. Jesus made a connection between his lordship and our responsibility to it. In Luke chapter 6 and in verse 48, Jesus says, why do you call me Kyrios, Kyrios, and then not do what I say? So listen. Is this Jesus your Lord? Let me ask you this. Who or what is the focal point of your life? Who or what do you give your best to? Who or what is first in your life? There is a process we must go through to be made new. The first step in that process is that Saul recognized Jesus as Lord. He said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" We must recognize Jesus as Lord and then act accordingly. Notice very carefully the second step in this process of being made new. The first thing is that Saul recognized Jesus as Lord. The second thing is that in the process of being made new, hear it, is that Saul received a new light. L-I-G-H-T. A new light. Look carefully at verse 7 and verse 8. "And the men who journeyed with Saul stood speechless. They heard a voice, but they didn't see anybody." Look at verse 8. "Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." Now, brethren, listen to this, and brethren, understand this. Saul is now physically blind. But being physically blind, he is now able to see better than he's ever seen before. You know how? Because now he's got a new light. Because even though physically he can't see, now, spiritually, his eyes are open. You got it? It's a new light. He is blind as a bat physically, and the man has never seen clear in his life. Now, what did Saul see with this new light? With his spiritual eyes open, what did he see? He saw four things with this new light. Number one, he saw he was wrong. He was wrong. He talks about this time in his life. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul said, "Formerly, I was a blasphemer. I spoke against God." Saul said, "Formerly, I was a persecutor." He said, "Formerly, I was a violent man." Saul could see now that he had been wrong. Saul could see now, "Listen, what I have always believed is wrong." Why is it so hard for people to admit they're wrong? Why is it so hard for people to change when they know they ought to change? With this new light, Saul could see that he was wrong. Are you listening? Are you listening? Secondly, with this new light, Saul could now see that one religion is not as good as another one. All of his life, he had spent in the religion of Judaism. Judaism in Saul's day was a popular religion, very popular.
This was the religion of Saul's family. His family had come out of Judaism. This was the religion where Saul was comfortable. I am comfortable in this. But brethren, one religion is not as good as another one. A religion without Jesus Christ is not as good as a religion with Jesus Christ. A religion that has false teaching and that opposes what the Scripture says is not as good as another who has the truth. Jesus said it is the truth of the Word that sets us free from sin. John 8:32. So Saul has this new, his spiritual eyes. I got this new light. And with this new light, I can see that I've been wrong. What I've believed was wrong. What I can see now is that one religion is not as good as another religion. The third thing that Saul could see with this new light is that one can be absolutely sincere and still be wrong. In Acts 23 and verse 1, Saul said, "Everything that I've done in good conscience. Everything that I've done is what I thought God wanted me to do. Everything that I have believed, I thought that's what God wanted me to believe." But it was all wrong. And his sincerity didn't make it right. The religious world is filled with people who are in exactly the same situation Saul's in right there. They are sincere about what they believe. They are sincere about what they do. They are sincere and zealous about what they are accomplishing for God. But brethren, Jesus said on the day of judgment that there are many sincere folk who are going to be shocked. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everybody who says to me, "Kurios, Kurios, Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom. But he who's done the will of my Father, listen to what he says. Many will come to me in the day of judgment and say, "Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. And we've cast out demons. And we've done all of this stuff." And Jesus will say, "I don't even know who you are." Those were religious people crying out. Those were people who were sincere about what they believed and what they did. But you can be sincere yet wrong. In the process of being made new, Saul has a new light. His spiritual eyes are open. The man is blind and can see better than he ever did. That's amazing to me. It wasn't till he went blind that he could really see what was important. Bless God. He saw he was wrong. He saw one religion's not as good as another. He saw you can be sincere deep into your soul and still not be right. And the fourth thing he saw with this new light, he saw there was something that he had to do. Look at the end of verse 6. Lord, what would you have me to do? Saul now sees there's something I gotta do. Drop down to verse 18. His companions have taken him into the city, and he's met there with a disciple named Ananias. Look at verse 18. Immediately there fell from Saul's eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once and arose and was baptized. When he recounts it in Acts 22, he says that when Ananias, this disciple, came to him in verse 16 of Acts 22, Ananias said, Saul, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Notice that the washing away of sin came after his act of baptism, not before it. You say, now, preacher, I think you have that wrong. I'm more than willing for you to explain it. Preacher, Saul wasn't saved in the city of Damascus. Saul was saved out there on the road when the Lord confronted him. Now, there are two things wrong with that. Are you listening? Number one, if he was saved out there on the road, the Lord didn't know it. Because it was the Lord, when Saul said, what do I have to do? It was the Lord who said, go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. So if he was saved there, the Savior didn't know it. I don't think that's likely. The second thing wrong with it is that if he was saved on that road, Ananias didn't know it. Because when Ananias came to him, he said, arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. You understand that? Here's what I'm teaching us. Don't leave here and not get this. I'm telling you, there is a process that one must go through to become a Christian. You can't say, well, I did this 10 years ago, so I'm good. You're not good if you haven't been faithful to it. And you need to stop lying to yourself about it. The process is that we recognize Jesus as Lord. He's the Kyrios. He's the one with the authority in my life now. It's not me anymore. Secondly, the process, there is a new light. And brethren, when our spiritual eyes are open, that's when we see. Number three, quickly. The third step in the process of being made new, don't miss this please, is that what Saul loves now is not what he used to love. Did you hear what I said? What he loves now isn't what he used to love. Verse 19 is shocking. Acts 9:19. So when Saul had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Whoa! Back the truck up. Doot, 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 doot. thought he went to Damascus to bring Abraham killed. Now he's up there fellowshipping with them. Whoa. Look at back. Go back to verse 1 and 2. Look at verse 1 and 2. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Now look at the verse. He is still breathing. Pause right there. You know what that means? The picture here is of a man who every time he draws breath, he is throwing out threats to the followers of Jesus. What is being pictured here is a man who's turned into a wild dog. Every breath he has now is to get a hold of Christians, and now he's in Damascus and he's fellowshipping with them. What the man loves now, he used to abhor. And when we become new creations in Christ Jesus, what we love now will be what we used to hate. As a new creature, you will love the Lord. As a new creation, as brand new in Christ, you will love the church. As brand new in Christ, you will love the Bible. You will love prayer. Let me say this before we leave. Leave this point, not this building. Let me say this. If you neglect the church, you neglect the Lord. You blow off the church, you blow off the Lord. Now I want you to see this. It only takes us 10 seconds. Go back to chapter 8 and verse 3. Look at chapter 8 and verse 3. It's talking about Saul. As for Saul, Saul made havoc of the church, entering into every house and dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. Now, look at chapter 9 at the end of verse 4. When Saul says, "Who are you?" Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Now, wait a minute. Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. Saul was persecuting the church. But when you do what you do to the church, you do to Jesus. In so much as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done this to me. The way we treat the church is the way we treat the Lord. Don't talk to me about loving the Lord and then blowing this place off. I'm not hearing it. There's a process here. We recognize Jesus as Lord. Our spiritual eyes are open and we have now a new light. What we love now is not what we used to love. Number 4 in closing. The fourth step in this process is that now we have a new work. We have a new work. Look at verse 20 and 21. Immediately Saul preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed. Boy, there's an understatement. And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not him who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And he has come here for this purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" When we become new, When we are made new, we have a new work. I say this without apology, and I say this without any fear of being compromised. There is no organization that has ever existed on the face of this earth that has done more good than the Church of Jesus Christ. Never. Never. So this morning, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. How does a guy so change? I mean, here is a man, every breath he takes, it is to destroy Christianity, and now every breath he takes is to expand Christianity. How does that happen? Here's how Saul said it happened. Don't forget this verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Saul, what are you? Well, I'm a Christian. Saul, how are you a Christian? I am what I am by the grace of God. Saul, what are you? Well, I'm an apostle. Well, Saul, how are you an apostle? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, Saul, what are you? Well, I'm a missionary. Well, Saul, how are you a missionary? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Are you listening? If Christ could save and change a man like Saul, I mean, this heathen, then I highly think that the Lord could save a wretch like you and me and use us too. Hey! Augustine, Augustine, it's me. I know it's you, but it's no longer me. It's no longer me. New in Christ. If you want to be made new, do what Saul did. Make Jesus Lord of your life. You open your spiritual eyes. You're baptized to wash away your sins. And you leave here with a new work and a transformed mind. This morning, if you're away from Christ, what in the world are you thinking about? If you need to respond, step out. Step out and step up right now as together we stand and as we sing.